We are finishing today the 8th chapter of Romans. It has been a long time coming, and I have not been in a hurry to leave Romans 8. This is a favorite chapter of mine. So we're going to read the last few verses of Romans chapter 8. Beginning with that very familiar 28th verse. I claim verses 28 through 30 as my special verses. People have life verses. So this is my treasured portion in particular. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. We end our reading with the close of the chapter, and we trust that the Lord will leave an indelible an everlasting impression of His truth from this chapter upon our hearts for Jesus' sake. It is most interesting to notice that we began reading verse 28, those who love God. That's one thing. But the love that we cannot be separated from at the end of the chapter is the love of God for us. And where is that love found? Not particularly in our hearts, but it is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the love that we cannot be separated from. Sometimes our love will ebb and flow, but the love of God never changes for His people. We are considering the last two verses of the chapter today. John Bunyan, the author of the famous book Pilgrim's Progress, spent 2 years in awful fear and misery, with heavy convictions of sin and with thoughts of his own damnation. What a terrible thing to suffer for 2 whole years. And at last he came to the joyful assurance of faith and acceptance with God through Christ alone. And then he wrote joyfully these words. Listen to what he wrote in Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. He said, then I began to heed the word of God, which with power did over and over make this joyful sound in my soul. It said, it's as though in my soul there was a joyful sound. Thou art my love. Thou art my love, and nothing shall separate you from my love. Romans 8:39. Now was my heart filled full of comfort and hope. Now I believe that my sins were forgiven. Yea, I was so taken up with the love and mercy of God that I could not contain myself. I thought that I could have spoken of His love and of His mercy to the very crows that sat in the plowed fields around me, if only they had been capable of understanding me. Bunyan's fears were at last gone, and he had come to full assurance. And there would still be some skirmishes he would have to fight with doubts and fears in the future. But the worst of the war was over. As we conclude this chapter on assurance, looking at the last two verses, here we see, first of all, full persuasion. What does he say? For I am persuaded. First of all, there is full persuasion. And then secondly, we will look at the feared perils, the different things that somebody would say, well, this could remove you from the love of God. Feared perils. And then lastly, thank God for foiled privation. We cannot be separated from the love of God when we are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So there in verse 38, we read those words, for I am persuaded. It was a personal persuasion of Paul himself. He had been through many near-death experiences. You remember they wanted to get him. They wanted to kill him even when he was in Damascus. And they led him down the wall in a basket. And then they stoned him at Lystra, left him for dead. He had suffered beatings and all kinds of opposition from demons and from civil magistrates. Yet he was persuaded, not only for himself, but for all true believers, that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But you notice how he said that. Nothing shall separate us. Not just me, but every other true believer in Christ. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ. Now, for stability and for strength in living the Christian life, we do need that. We need more than having convictions. We need the firm persuasion that what God has spoken, He will surely accomplish. Hebrews 11, verse 13, speaks of the pilgrim patriarchs of Israel who were fully persuaded of God's promises. And as a result of their being fully persuaded, they embraced those promises and they staked everything in their lives upon the promises in God's Word. Now, the Greek term here for persuade is interesting, for it is the perfect passive, meaning I have been persuaded. I'm not just persuaded now. I've been persuaded for a long time. For a long time before Paul wrote these words, he had been persuaded of this reality. I'm persuaded that I cannot be separated from the love of God in Christ. It's an impossibility. Now, I wonder today, are you fully persuaded? Are you fully persuaded that what God says He is able also to perform and to bring to fulfillment? That's faith. That's saving faith. And that's sanctifying faith. Now, secondly, we come to these feared perils in both verses 38 and 39. There are several pairs, and then we have a single. But the feared perils, there are quite a few listed here. The apostle deals with every possible thing that would be thought able to separate us from the love of God. And first, he says in verse 38, neither death nor life. They are paired together. Neither death nor life. And he puts death first. Death is given first place because it is, in the eyes of so many, the most terrible. It is the king of terrors. And what is included in this? Every kind of death. Natural death, violent death. Death separates people from this world. Death separates people from their worldly wealth. Death separates people from their loved ones that are left here. Death separates the soul from the body. But no kind of death can separate a child of God from the eternal love of the eternal God. He says, for neither death nor life. You know, life is sometimes more difficult than death. I remember my grandfather was speaking to his brother many, many years ago, and his brother said, I'm willing to die for Christ. He said, well, I just wish you would live for him. I thought that was quite a point he made. I never have forgotten my father telling me about that. With temptations and trials and disappointments, we find within ourselves much sin and imperfection in our lives. We're not happy with that. But even this cannot separate a true believer from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So neither death nor life. Now we come on to another pair, and I call it a pair. It may look like triplets, but let's look here at verse 38. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. And you know, oftentimes in Scripture, you see the principalities and powers put together. And I'm going to explain why I'm saying that is a pair. Angels, meaning the holy angels who minister to God's elect people. Those angels would not try to separate us from God's love in any way. Even if they could. They would not. Now, those others, the principalities and powers, would happily separate us from the love of God if they could. Principalities and powers refers especially to the demonic evil angels who cannot separate the true believer from God's love in Christ. You remember Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Principalities and powers. Christ has defeated those principalities and powers. He has triumphed over them already, we are told in Colossians 2:15. So, praise God, no member of the demonic hierarchy can separate a child of God from the love of God in Christ. And then we come down toward the end of verse 38, nor things present, nor things to come. There's another pair. Things present, things to come. Things present, things future. Thank God the past is not mentioned. I love that. The apostle says, things in the present or things in the future can't take us away, can't separate us from the love of God. But what about the past? The past is not even mentioned or brought up against us as even a possibility that could be against the saints of God. And why? If you carefully study the Scriptures, if you carefully study the Old Testament Scriptures, even without necessarily turning to the New, Isaiah 43:25, the Lord says, I will not remember thy sins. Psalm 103, we sang and I read this morning, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. How are you going to find them? if they've been removed as far away as the east is from the west? At what point will you locate them? At what point will any being locate the sins of God's people that have been forgiven? Micah chapter 7 in verse 19, he says he will cast our sins into the depths of the sea. If you simply Google how deep is the sea, at the deepest point it's nearly 7 miles deep. And those marine scientists and biologists tell us that there is not life that deep because of the extreme pressure of those nearly 7 miles of water bearing upon the depths, that whatever is there is dissolved. And what a blessing it is to know that our sins are cast into the depths of the sea and dissolve them into nothingness. He says he will remember them against us no more. But what about the present? This is what the apostle is dealing with. We don't have to worry about the past if you're in Christ. It's the present. What does he say of the present? As this chapter opens, he says, there is therefore now, in the present, no condemnation, no judgment against them that are in Christ Jesus. The secret is being in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation now for those that are in Christ Jesus. Jesus said himself in John 5:24, the believer has passed from death unto life. And with present eternal life, he goes on to say, and shall not come into condemnation. And there he even moves us into the future. And shall not come into condemnation. The word is judgment. There's no condemning judgment for the believer forever. So neither things to come nor present things can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember Jesus said in John 10 and verse 28 of his sheep, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ are not meaningless. They are true words. Now to verse 39, our last verse in the chapter. Nor height, nor depth. Nor height, nor depth. Now that's interesting. No one in the highest heaven, nor any high honors or prosperity of earth can separate a true child of God from the Father's love in Christ. Nothing in the highest heaven, no matter what height you may reach in this world, that will not separate a child of God from the Father's love in Christ, nor from the depths of hell, or from the most depressing circumstances you can face on earth. These cannot separate a child of God from divine love. So we come finally to the last one here, standing alone in verse 39. Nor any other creature. Now this is most interesting. Why did the Lord leave this one by itself? It calls special attention to itself. Nor any other creature, no other created thing, literally. The apostle is indeed saying, once you are a real Christian, you are always a real Christian. Some people don't hold to that interpretation of Scripture. Some people say, well, there is nothing that can separate a believer from God's saving love except his own free will. Since they believe that a true Christian can become a non-Christian, they exalt free will into the throne even above Christ. In this position, free will can do what even angels cannot do. We have noted already. But the truth is, free will did not get anyone into Christ to begin with, nor will it remove anyone that's truly in Christ. There's a problem, a very severe problem with this view. even the free will that was given to Adam and Eve, our first parents, was created by God originally. So Paul is stating that no creature can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that includes the creature known as free will. Okay. So, not even our free will can separate a true child of God from the love of God in Christ. So thank God for those fearful perils that become not so fearful at all when we consider them biblically. Having briefly looked at full persuasion and feared perils, we come to the last thing, and that is foiled privation. What is that? Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Foiled privation. Now, what do I mean? All of these created things that might try to deprive us or separate us from God's love are foiled. They are prevented from doing that thing that anyone would suppose that they could do. The soul born of God is, as Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 7, that soul is born from above. It's not born from beneath. There's a special act of God in every regenerated soul. It is born from above. The direct action of Almighty God bringing that birth to pass. So one who is born of God cannot be unborn of God. No more than you can unfry or unscramble an egg and put it back the way it was before. The love of God itself is infinite and unchangeable and only given to us in Christ and from Christ. Praise God for His triune love. Each of the persons of the Holy Trinity involved in giving us this love. The Father gave His love to us in His only begotten Son to die for us and to live for us, to take away our sin, John 3:16. The Son of God Himself loved us and gave Himself for us, Galatians 2:20. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us, Romans 5:5. So what the triune God has taken the trouble to give to His believing people will not be taken away, will not be separated from it. Now, to enjoy the great benefits of God's love, the issue is simply this. Be absolutely certain that you are in Christ. Thomas Scott, one of the great Episcopal preachers in England hundreds of years ago, Thomas Scott wrote, "No one can have any right to think themselves predestined, called, or justified unless they love God, bear a likeness to Christ, walk in His steps, and endeavor to obey and honor Him." Since the matters of verses 38 and 39 are reality, every believer should turn from the zealous pursuit of earthly things, and every believer should set our affection on Christ and on the great things that are of lasting and eternal value. We began this morning remembering John Bunyan's two miserable years of doubts, darkness, and fear. This chapter, Romans 8, was given by the Lord especially to do away with groundless fears. Every child of God by grace can even look forward to death. Every child of God can even look death in the face while being a conqueror over death through Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. In the context of this, you think about that. Matthew Henry wrote so many years ago about a Scottish believer named Mr. Hugh Kennedy. When on his deathbed, Mr. Kennedy called for a Bible. He said, "Turn it to Romans 8:38 and place my finger on the verse." "It's there," they told him. Mr. Kennedy then said, "For I am persuaded." And he went through the verses, down through verse 39. And he turned to his children and he said, "Now God be with you, my children. I have breakfast with you this day, and I shall have supper with my Lord Jesus Christ this night." And having said this, he departed to be with Christ, which is far better. Let us pray together. O God, we praise Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee that Thy Word is truth. We praise Thee that what Thou dost tell us, Thou art well able to accomplish. And Lord, we thank Thee for the comfort that is given to us from Thy Holy Scriptures. We thank Thee for the Holy Spirit giving us this passage in Romans chapter 8. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt write the truth upon our hearts so that we not forget it. Lord, may it make a lasting impression upon us. And now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.